Final hour already. Must be a Friday. Hope you are feeling right and living well. So happy to have you guys along for the ride. One more hour this week. Of course, your live and local entertainment does not end with us. You've got Blaine and Mickey. You've got 3HL. But in the meantime, we're going to finish strong here over the course of the next hour. Best games of Super Wild Card Weekend is what we're going to discuss right now. We're also going to have Kalen Kaler, who wrote a great article for Defector about the NFL's hiring practices right now. Worth checking out if you haven't seen it. And given the Black Monday or Black Thursday in the case of David Culley repercussions, I'd be curious to know what she thinks of the NFL's hiring process based off the reporting that she's done. 615-737-1045. You can jump in. This is the last hour for you to do so this week. I don't have a pregame hour for you because Titans aren't playing. So no Lee Company countdown to kickoff for me this week. I'll be watching at home just like you guys. But in the meantime, I want to know which of these games on Super Wild Card Weekend you find the most intriguing. And of course, given that the opponent will emerge for the Tennessee Titans out of this Wild Card Weekend, which team would you most like to see in Nashville? Let's go to John, who's up first on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, John.
Hey, Buck. How's it going today?
Going well, thank
you.
For
me, unfortunately, I work over the weekend, so I won't be able to watch all the games. But I'm really interested in seeing how Pittsburgh does against Kansas City, because obviously if they pull it off, they get to come here. I'd much rather face them over any of the other teams. But what I really want to see is if KC loses, Buffalo would host the AFC or the divisional game. And if they lost, Cincinnati would host it. And if all the wild cards win, Vegas gets a home game in the postseason, which I think is just ridiculous.
That would be a trip, wouldn't it? I appreciate the call. I mean, there's no way that Ben Roethlisberger at this point can sputter and pitter and patter his way through Arrowhead Stadium in the playoffs. Like, we can't possibly see that happening.
I think that's what people are hoping for.
Oh, sure. But like Ian, I think I heard Slay say that on the radio. He's like, yeah, it'd be great if the Steelers won and if the Patriots won and if all of the worst teams in the postseason right now. That'd be great if everything lined up for the Titans that way. I'm just sitting there screaming at my radio. Yeah, sure, Slay. Be great, bud.
Wouldn't be the strangest thing to happen.
That would be pretty bizarre. Have you seen Ben lately? This man is he got rid of the ball in under 2 seconds in a game this year. 1.89. Do you know how ridiculous that is? It's literally hitting his hands and he's chest passing. He's swatting the ball when it comes out from the center. He's basically swatting the ball away. That's the most contact that he's making. An average time to throw under 2 in a game.
How many sacks does TJ Watt need for the Steelers to win?
All of them.
All the sacks.
All of the sacks.
The problem, every play.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just wild to me. You know what I think would be fun? And this is a topic that I'm bringing up on air, which is, of course, how we like to do things. I have no prior planning. I haven't talked to Ramon Foster or anybody about this. But I kind of want to do one of these Twitter spaces for a wild card game. I wonder if Ramon would be down for that. Because I did Darren Bates's during the national championship game. That was a whole hell of a lot of fun. And if the Steelers are winning, Ramon would be great. Maybe I'll talk to Ramon about that off air instead of bringing that up on air. Now, the best of the divisional round to me, objectively, without considering the Titans for just this exercise, and then we'll talk about which most benefits the Titans to see in the second round. You know, obviously, I'm fascinated with Vegas and Cincinnati. I think that Philadelphia and Tampa Bay is a game. I really do. Greg Cosell and I, we talked about this at great length this week on the podcast, and we gave you one film thought for every wild card weekend game, as well as some good stuff on the Titans passing game. But I'm convinced that Philadelphia and Tampa Bay is going to be a ball game. Now, I think ultimately Brady comes out winning that, but the way that Philly plays versus how banged up Tampa is on defense right now, I really, really think could make that one interesting. Do we know if J.J. Watt's playing for Arizona yet? Have you seen anything about that? I haven't. I looked it up last night.
Yeah, I've just seen that he's returned to practice.
Just designated to return. So they could, I mean, they're not playing until Monday, so they've got
right.
time.
They got time, and I'm sure his production team is hard at work.
What? You don't just get to stab J.J. Watt in the side like that and slink off into the shadows. What's wrong with you?
Am I wrong?
I mean, no. But that just felt like unnecessary. I mean, I'm sure many people, many Titans fans in the audience are nodding their head because of their vigorous hate for J.J. Watt. But also those probably, I would venture to say 70% of those Titans fans who were laughing at your joke about J.J. Watt also wanted him on their football team.
Yes, certainly.
By the way, J.J. has been good for as much as you hate him and the dramatics and all these things. Like, J.J. Watt's been good this season when he's played. Their defenses look substantially different without him. Arizona and L.A., as the Monday night football game this week. Very, very interesting. Patriots, I mean, they're all good games, right? You don't have a bad game on the schedule other than I hate the fact. I don't care whether the Titans win or lose, just objectively. You know, I mean, obviously, it's better. Let me say this again. It is better for my business. It is better for me financially if the Titans continue to win. So let me not act like I'm completely divested of the situation. But I hate that they lost to the Steelers solely because I don't want to see Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs. Like, of all the games that I'm looking at, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. San Francisco at Dallas. I think Philadelphia has some things that they can do against Brady and the Bucs. But then I get to that Steelers-Pittsburgh game, and I'm just like, bleh. I don't want to watch any more of Ben. I've seen enough. Daniel is in Hendersonville. Speaking of the Steelers, Daniel wants to weigh in. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Buck. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Now, I came in at the tail end of this. I was on the phone. I apologize, but I heard y'all cracking jokes and talking about everybody in Nashville wanted the Steelers to win.
Yes.
So my question is, do the Steelers got a better chance of beating the Chiefs or the Titans?
The Steelers have a better chance of beating, well, who turns it over more, I guess, is the way that I would answer your question with a question, Daniel. Yeah.
I'm petrified to play the Titans just from a run game perspective. I'm not that worried about the Chiefs and their run game, although, you know, the middle school team can run on the Steelers. But I just had to call in and show my support for Steeler Nation because we are in the playoffs. Anything can happen.
It's true.
If they do get beat by 30, which is a pretty high possibility, I'm rooting for your Titans. My kids love the Titans. But I just can't – I couldn't let you guys sit there and clown my boy like that because – you just never know, man. Never know.
Oh, listen, no, I'm completely with you, Daniel. The reason that Pittsburgh is in the playoffs is because they beat Tennessee. Like, there's no laughing matter there, even if I consider that to be the worst loss of the Titans season because of just, I mean, you know, and I tend to crack jokes. I probably take it less seriously than I should because Ben is obviously somebody who's been a staple of my football life, certainly, and everybody else's 18 years in the league, but also, like, I'm looking at their offense and thinking, I don't want to watch that anymore. I'm tired of it. It's constipated. It's gross. It just dinks and dunks its way through the postseason. And Ben's not even their worst problem. I think their offensive line has been an issue for him all season long. 615-737-1045 is the number. Who do you want to see in the postseason? Who do you want to see make it through the divisional round and come to Nashville? You're going to hear some analysis from Greg Cosell on that matter coming up next, and we'll also speak with Kalen Kaler of Defector, who wrote a great article about hiring practices in the NFL and how nepotism has its claws far too deep into the NFL hiring process. She'll join us coming up next. Your phone calls as well. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Friday rolling here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Getting ready to talk about the best matchups from this wild card weekend, super wild card weekend, as it were. Going to get some analysis from Greg Cosell on this in a minute. We are also, because the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the playoffs, as one of our callers did note, and I know there's a large contingent of Steelers fans in Nashville, and I understand Steelers, you know, nationwide brand, international brand, basically, but I'm not calling this next guest because I want to talk specifically about the Steelers. Ramon Foster of J. Martin Ramon joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. He's tweeted me and Ron Slay. Where are you right now?
I'm sitting in a chair, actually getting feet done right now, Buck.
You're getting your feet done. So is this your first pedicure?
No, absolutely not. This is the first one I've had in a long time. I will say that. And right now they're currently towel wrapped and also I have this wax that's on them too right now. So I'm getting like the full treatment, Buck.
All right, so this is a live report from Ramon Foster's Pedicure, which is exactly the kind of content I would like to do here today. J. Martin Ramon, 6 to 10 a.m., 104.5 The Zone. What smoke were you getting about the pedicure process for somebody? Like, none of us, between you, me, and Slay, all three men who get our feet taken care of, none of us are emasculated by this idea. Why are people out on pedicures? Why?
Jason said it made him feel like it wasn't manly, and I'm thinking to myself, it's manly to take care of yourself. Like, I get it, at, like, the stigma of going to get yourself pampered, but if you don't, who will?
That's what I'm saying. Kings got to stay kings. We'll let you enjoy. Yeah. We'll let you enjoy your pedicure. Back to your relaxation. We'll let you off the hook for this today. Chiefs going to beat the or Steelers going to beat the Chiefs. By the way,
but if it's close, yes.
Shut up.
Treat yourself, Ramon.
You're an idiot. Get out of here. Ramon Foster with a pedicure update. They're with us on 104.5 The Zone. Jason Martin said it made him feel not manly. Who cares? It's not supposed to make you feel manly. It's a pedicure. Taking care of your feet. Now I want to know. Well, I don't want to know what Jason's feet look like, but I'm questioning what Jason's feet look like because he does not take care of his feet.
I almost called him Slay. Is he with Slay?
No, he's not with Slay.
Oh, I thought you said they were doing it together.
No, he has tweeted Slay and I, hey, Buck Rising and Ron Slay, this pedicure is freaking amazing. Now, I don't know if he's going to the same place where Slay and I get our feet done. It's entirely possible. Manliness, manlyhood, whatever. Like, I don't, you know, nobody's going to question Ramon Foster and Ron Slay because they get their feet done. All of us are secure enough within our masculinity to get our feet done. You should too, by the way. And if you don't, ask yourself why, and then take a look at your toenails because I'm sure they're cracked, green, yellow, purple, blue, all kinds of colors. Go take care of your feet. It's good for you. Back to the football. Let me hear from Greg Cosell about these Las Vegas Raiders because I think this is the opponent that the Titans, I'm convinced at this point, this is the most likely opponent for the Titans. I don't think New England gets past Buffalo this weekend. It is going to be a tall, tall task for the Steelers to beat the Chiefs. Cincy and Vegas right now, I'm curious what the line is. In fact, I'll look that up at this point. I can't imagine that the Bengals are favored by more than 3 points in this game in my draft. Whoa! DraftKings Sportsbook has the Raiders as a 5.5-point dog. That's surprising to me. I'm not sure why that is. I would bet the Raiders in a heartbeat if I was in a position to bet on NFL games.
Well, what team in the NFL had a more explosive finish on offense than the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, well, Burrow in his last two starts. I know they kind of petered out in that last game against the Browns, but he didn't play. I mean, Burrow.
Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen. Arkansas legend. I know that Burrow had threw for nearly 1,000 yards against a bad Ravens passing defense, and Ja'Marr Chase went crazy in Burrow's last start of the year in Week 17.
Against Kansas City,
worth noting. A good defense, by the way. And I don't know, I think it's Charvarius. I keep wanting to call him Chardarius. It's Charvarius Ward, the MTSU defensive back, who's a starting corner for the Chiefs. I don't know that Charvarius Ward could have played Ja'Marr Chase any better than he did. I watched that game back a couple of times. I really don't know that there's much else they could have done. But they can't protect him. They cannot protect Joe Burrow. Let me hear from Greg Cosell about this Raiders defense, because I really think that's going to be the divisional round opponent for Tennessee. I think that the Raiders are the most complete team of any of these four potential opponents. I think that they're going to find a way to upset Cincinnati this weekend.
Well, you can talk about their defense. And again, it's a defense without a lot of mystery to it, Buck. It's a team that predominantly rushes four.
Yeah.
They play, I think, the highest percentage of cover three in the league. And that's a zone coverage. But they do play cover one, which is the man version with a single high safety. They do play that. They're another team that is able to generate pressure relatively consistently with their down four. You know, these two teams played week 11, and it was a very odd game. The Bengals ended up running the ball really well later in the game, and Mixon ended up with 28, 29 carries, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
Including a 20-some-odd yard touchdown in the fourth quarter that kind of, I think, helped put the game away. But Burrow had 20 completions for only about 140 yards. It was a really odd game. And I don't expect that to happen again. But I think one thing that you have to be aware of in this game, we know how good Burrow has been, okay? Mm-hmm. We know how good Ja'Marr Chase has been. We know how good T. Higgins has been. But their offensive line is an issue in pass protection. They've struggled all season in one-on-one pass protection. And I'm very curious to see what the Bengals' pass protection approach is. The Bengals love to play out of empty sets. They played out of empty sets the second most in the league behind the Rams and Matthew Stafford. And if you're an empty, now you can still chip when you're an empty because your inside receivers to each side can chip.
Titans did it against the 49ers like we talked about.
Correct. And they've done it a few other times since then. That is correct. But I just don't think they can rely on their offensive line, their five offensive linemen, to pass protect snap after snap against this Raiders front, particularly on the edges. Jonah Williams at left tackle struggles in one-on-one pass protection. He'll most likely get Yannick Ngakoue. And then the right tackle, I believe, will be Isaiah Prince. Yeah. Because Riley Reiff, I believe, is out for the year. So Isaiah Prince, he'll play right tackle, and he's going to be matched up against Crosby. That is a tough, tough matchup. You know, as good as Burrow's been, I think you're going to see him have to move a bit. And by the way, week 11, in that game, he was anticipating pressure. He was perceiving pressure at times. He was not comfortable in that game, week 11, against the Raiders.
That's Greg Cosell of NFL Films breaking down the game. Now, in the middle of that, because I want to address a lot of what Greg just said, in the middle of that, Lucas was in my ear telling me something that was on television. Describe to the people what you were upset about.
The ESPN NFL Wildcard Weekend promo, which is showing various clips of Andy Reid in the Chiefs locker room, of Matt Stafford throwing a bomb downfield, and of Jonathan Taylor doing a jump cut.
What? Run that last one by me again?
Jonathan Taylor doing a jump cut.
On a what promo?
On a NFL Wildcard Weekend promo.
Do you think the NFL just forgot to update like the stuff they sent to ESPN for promotional purposes?
Yeah, I think they might have put that together a week ago.
I think that's unfortunate. But anyway, Raiders and Bengals are in it. So from this standpoint, you look at this game. Again, Cincinnati favored by 5.5 points at home. That's the Saturday 4:30 game. The schedule looks like this right now, by the way. Saturday at 4:30, Vegas and the Bengals. You got the Bills and the Patriots in Buffalo as the Saturday night game. Sunday, you've got three games, Philly and Tampa, San Francisco and Dallas, and the Sunday night football game, for whatever reason, is Kansas City favored by 12.5 in a playoff game. Ooh, oh, God. I do not want anything to do with the Steelers. Nobody does. I think I would bet Kansas City if I was betting on NFL games. And then Monday night, you've got the Cardinals and the Rams in an NFC West rematch. So the Raiders, they clearly have places where they can exploit where the Bengals struggle the most. Now, again, as we talked about with Coach Dave McGinnis earlier in the show, I think that what makes Joe Burrow so much more impressive is the fact that he's done it without protection. I mean, there's not a ton of bad offensive lines in this postseason. Steelers don't have a great one. I would contend that Cincinnati is the worst of this group, and the Raiders aren't overwhelmingly great. But from the standpoint of protection purposes, like Max Crosby, I was shocked that he didn't even make second team All-Pro when we ran through that list. By the way, the way that they released the All-Pro thing, I thought I was just an idiot because we were doing it on air and I was struggling with reading comprehension in real time. They botched that so badly. Like six different articles you got to get me to click on to see the full list. Anyway, maybe I'll yell at Teresa Walker about that because, of course, that's not her fault at all, but I just need somebody to yell at. What's happening with Mason Crosby, though, this season, there's not an individual in the sport that has more quarterback pressures than Max Crosby. I almost called him Mason. It would be weird for a kicker to have a lot of pressures on the quarterback. But Max Crosby and Joe Burrow this season, when he's not pressured, he's third in the league as far as QBR is concerned. When he is under pressure, he's 20th. Now, a lot of quarterbacks would be worse than that. if they were under pressure. And Joe Burrow is constantly under pressure. But I think the more complete team, and of course anything could happen in a football game, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form interested in doing game picks. I don't care about what the final score is. I'm just interested to see how these things play out. I think that the team most well-equipped to advance is Las Vegas right now. Now, for the Titans' purposes, and of course, we're, you know, Mike Vrabel talked about this earlier in the week. They're doing advanced scouting on both Cincinnati and Las Vegas because those are the two teams in the AFC bracket that they have not played against this season. But at this point, you look at it and say, okay, from the standpoint of the Titans, who would you rather see? And I think the answer is Cincinnati, 10 out of 10. Joe Burrow has been so, so good. And I love the skill position players that they have there. The defense, some of the stuff that they've done defensively this year is interesting because their defensive coordinator's been there for a minute. They found unique ways to, like, defend Lamar Jackson when he was healthy that kind of stood out to me. It was one of the better Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark NFL Live breakdowns that went viral this year of them describing basically the unconventional way that the Bengals were defending a player like Lamar Jackson. Now, you're going to see a lot more conventional quarterback play in the postseason with, I mean, Jalen Hurts probably on either the NFC or the AFC side. He's probably, well, I don't know. You look at Kyler, you look at Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen maybe factors into this conversation, but, I mean, Hurts is the only one who really relies upon his strength being his legs as opposed to what he can do to you in the passing game. And, you know, maybe there's too much Viagra in Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills to lose this weekend, as Bart Scott was so kind to point out to everybody on national television yesterday. If you miss, I bet that's a weird pull for me to just lob out there without giving people any kind of context. Bart Scott advised medically on national television yesterday for the Bills players, or for Josh Allen specifically, because he struggles with circulation in his feet. You take Viagra.
Teresa Walker had a good point on Blaine and Mickey yesterday. Football games do last about three and a half hours.
I made that joke like four times yesterday.
I didn't catch it.
Come on. Come on. What are you doing? That's not... Oh, you're the worst. I swear to God, I counted how many times, because I was looking for a laugh. Lucas is basically how we do this. Like, this is how I gauge whether what I've said is funny or not, or whether it's landed flat or not. And basically how I gauge when we need to move on to the next thing. If I see the life go from his eyes, I feel like I've lost him. And he's the best indication that I have of any other person, because he's the only other person in here with me. I counted three times yesterday I made that joke. Landed flat the entire time. I thought it was just not funny. But you, sitting here trumpeting Teresa Walker.
D-Good says, how do you know how long it lasts, Buck?
Oh, this is always the way the conversation goes. There's no good defense of it. Anyway, Max Crosby has more pressures than any individual in football this season. He has been an absolute terror against the quarterback. And listen, the thing that the Titans have done the best through this stretch, obviously quarterback play is A1. Health is the most important thing that overarches all of this. But they found ways to consistently keep Ryan Tannehill upright and to keep him clean and to allow him to push the ball down the field like you saw against Houston. The pass rush for any of these teams, whether you're talking about, well, I'd probably put Cincinnati out of this category, but Vegas, if you see them, the New England Patriots at this point, and even the Steelers, will come with a more aggressive pass rush than the teams that you have faced. Well, no, I can't say that, honestly, because the Dolphins and the Niners were looking to get a piece of Tannehill too, and they kept him clean through that game. So, frankly, that analysis doesn't add up. I was kind of running back through that in my head real time. I think that what you're going to see, though, is as long as the offensive line can stay healthy, as long as you can consistently keep that quarterback upright, you have a chance. The team that works most actively against that from the four potential opponents, I would say it's the Raiders hands down. Now, I don't think anybody wants to see Belichick in the playoffs, especially as a wild card team. But I still think that Mac Jones is so limited as a player. I'm not saying that Mac Jones sucks. I'm not saying Mac Jones is a bust. He's clearly and obviously the best of the rookies this season. But there's a lot of reasons why he does not, why you wouldn't trust him in one of these situations yet. And now we have Ramon Foster in the chat on YouTube from his pedicure giving out similar Viagra advice. Oh, or maybe that's about feet. All I saw was don't knock it till you try it, and I don't know what it's about. I'm deeply concerned.
Could be either one.
It could be either one. It's a toss-up. You know what's not? The polls. They're consistent. We'll do the poll questions coming up next. Last call for phone calls if you got them. 615-737-1045. That's the number. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Sunday service choir. No football this Sunday for Titans fans. Plenty of football to watch, but none for you to be overwhelmingly invested in. That music, though, it means it's the end of our week. And as always, we sincerely appreciate all the stupidity that you allow us to propagate for 3 hours each and every weekday. We're so grateful for each and every one of you, whether you're yelling at us in the Zone TV chat, you call in. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you allow us to do. We're hugely appreciative. Do the polls in just a second. Want to follow up on something that somebody had asked me about earlier as far as the Titans are concerned. Now, I did see a lot of, I did get a lot of questions about this yesterday because I had gotten some information that the city of Nashville is preparing some form of a watch party downtown for not just the AFC Championship game potentially, but for the divisional round as well. Getting a lot of questions about that. What I was told is they'll release more details on that at a later date, but just kind of wanted to put that on your guys' radar as something that is currently in the works. So I hope that answers any questions. I know it doesn't really, but, you know, what are you going to do? Give me the polls.
Joints like, hey, Scoop, stop the count, stop the count.
Yeah.
The polls have closed. The votes are in. It's time for a poll update, Scoop.
A roll update? Yeah.
Zoink, Scoop. Here's Buck Rising Show daily correspondent Lucas Panzeca.
Lucas Panzeca? Yeah.
Which AFC South franchise are you laughing the hardest at? Texans, Colts, or Jags? 73% laughing at the Colts, 14% Jags, 13% Texans.
Somebody accused me earlier of setting up that poll, which would really be accusing Lucas of setting up that poll. But of course, we know that I'm not even competent enough to do my own poll questions from my own Twitter account. So Lucas has to do it. Somebody accused us earlier of setting that up to look phallic. The results of that poll, I don't know if they ended up that way, but if the Colts in the middle, you know, not what we intended to do.
Relevant to the conversation.
Well, we went full Bart Scott, it would seem. But you have to go check out the polls on Twitter to understand what we're talking about. Yeah, I think Titans fans probably lean towards the Colts just because they hate them the most. But, I mean, and I'm not even laughing at the Texans organization today. I'm just made sad by it. I'm made sad by what happened to David Culley. I hate that. From by all accounts, what seems to be a genuinely decent man and a good coach at every level that he's been at. And maybe he's not going to be the greatest NFL head coach of all time, but he just wasn't given a chance. And so I'm not laughing at the Texans today. I'm frankly kind of grossed out by the Texans.
Darren says it's definitely the Colts. More was expected of them. The national media all but crowned them AFC champs throughout the season, and their fan base talked crap all season. And the Titans, at least in recent history, haven't gotten that many opportunities to laugh at the Colts. So I think that's why you're seeing such a big discrepancy here.
Well, and apparently they didn't even pull the wild card weekend promos featuring the Colts because a couple of them just ran on ESPN.
What is the best game this weekend? 34% say it's Patriots and Bills. 27% go 49ers Cowboys on Sunday. 22% Bengals Raiders. 17% say it's Cardinals Rams on Monday Night Football.
I think that, you know, I'm not, again, I say I don't want to do predictions, but then I feel a certain way about all these games. I really think that the Bills could blow out the Pats on Sunday, or on Saturday, rather. I really do. I don't know why I feel that way. Weather is not going to be an overwhelming factor, although it is going to be absolutely frigid in Buffalo. this weekend. I think that the best of these games is Niners at Cowboys. I really think the Niners could cause some problems this year.
Ashley says the slime game, 49ers-Cowboys. I guess that's the Nickelodeon game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it must be.
That's fun. I saw Ryan Tannehill did a Nickelodeon kids interview with Adam Schefter's daughter, who's doing those now.
Okay,
and
yeah.
She coaxed out of him. It's the most controversial thing Ryan Tannehill's ever said, of course, would be said to a 9-year-old, or however old she is, respectfully. that he would like to coin the finger roll as the Tana roll. And I heard somebody comment around that start to get bent out of shape. I thought that was supposed to be for Michael Jordan. Who is Ryan Tannehill to say such controversial things? Why are we so dumb in sports? Why?
Those are good, by the way. Those are well done.
The Nickelodeon things?
Yeah, with Schefter's daughter, with NFL players.
Oh, yeah, they use Ian Eagle's son. They use Adam Schefter's daughter. Nate Burleson's a part of it.
Yeah.
Nate Burleson, by the way, we are represented by the same shop. So every time I see Nate get another job, I get excited. That means business is good.
Steven Snyder says he's going to be at Paul Brown Stadium tomorrow with his Titans gear on for the Bengals pep rally.
Well, that's weird.
Repping the two-tone blue up in Cincinnati.
All right, Godspeed, sir.
Who is the most deserving of being all-pro on the Titans? We say this after we know that Kevin Byard was the only all-pro selection.
Jeff Simmons, second team.
Second team, correct. Kevin Byard, 54% of the votes, 32% say it's Big Jeff, 9% Harold Landry, 5% Danico Autry.
I think it's Danico Autry. I think that Danico Autry should get credit for not just what he's done this year, which, by the way, of all defensive players, regardless of position, line, edge rusher, you know, corners on blitzes, whatever, Danico Autry was 21st among all defensive players in the NFL in terms of pressure. The only people, well, there was 20 people above him. Two of those were his teammates, Jeff Simmons and Harold Landry. Harold didn't even get an All-Pro vote. Dumb.
Roger Saffold, the only offensive player to get one, and he got just one.
He got one.
Is he the most deserving on the Titans roster offensively?
I don't know. That'd be tough. Maybe. But, like, I respectfully, you know, Roger's good when he's out there. And like Taylor. It's just been an availability thing. Like, I can't give Roger full credit for that. Most deserving? Probably. I think that's based on the question that you asked me, the most deserving of an all-pro vote from the Titans offense would be Roger Saffold.
Who you got tomorrow, Vols or Cats? In Rupp Arena, a noon tip-off. You can hear it right here on 104.5 The Zone. 62% go with Vols, 38% say Cats.
Well, Vols done pretty well at Rupp Arena. Certainly be watching that game between Belmont and all the football this weekend. And, by the way, you can listen to Lucas Panzeca on the call of some high school basketball tonight. What time?
Brentwood Academy at Ensworth, a fun region rivalry matchup, 7:30 tip-off at Ensworth High School.
All right. 104.5 The Zone is where you can hear that. Those are the polls?
Those are the polls.
Very good. An efficient poll question segment. We hardly ever get that done. So, I don't know how you're going to be watching the football this weekend. I hope you do enjoy the football this weekend. By the way, since there is no Titans game this Sunday, or Saturday, for that matter, since NFL games are being played both days, I'm taking Monday off. I'm going to take advantage of this first round bye. And, you know, Ramon Foster is getting a pedicure. I have a pedicure scheduled as well for Monday, so I'm going to be doing that. While Keith Bullock, Will Bowling, and Kayla Anderson fill in. Well, you're not going to be here either, are you?
Nope. I will be in Birmingham.
Oh, so you're family time?
Seeing some family.
That's nice.
Promised I'd do it if the Titans hit the bye week.
Did you? See, I make no promises. I don't want to tell. I'm not committing to anything. I'm not committing to anything during the bye week. I just give me some time. Not that family time isn't important. Important to everybody. But yeah, Monday will be a different cast of characters. Lucas and I will be off. We're going to take advantage of no Titans responsibilities, and we will have great content for you Tuesday when we return. But in the meantime, enjoy the football this weekend. Going to be some interesting results, certainly, to play out. And enjoy the rest of the conversation today, because Blaine Bishop and Mickey Ryan, they've got you coming up next. 3HL will finish out your Friday strong, and I'll see you, or talk to you, on Tuesday, depending on how you consume us.